Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I've been asked to speak on Radha Tattva. We are enjoined to speak according to our realization. My realization, we are told, when we come to this Krishna conscious movement, that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra means to pray to Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. So I'm still on that level, praying for it. I can't say that Nikunja Yuno Rati Keli Siddha Yaya Libhi Yuktira Pekshaniya Tatrati Daksha Dati Vallabhas. Vande Guru Sri Charana Aravinda. We're praying to Srila Prabhupada and the perfect acharyas who are assisting the gopis in their services to the divine couple, providing all desirable items for them. They're very expert in performing such services. Yeah, everyone kindly turn off your cell phone. Yeah, so we have been introduced to a level of consciousness beyond theology, beyond even understanding who is God. That statement may seem to be atheistic. Beyond God. If we say beyond God, that statement is immediately atheistic, or it is super theistic, or beyond normal theism. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the Madhva Sampradaya, Madhva, Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, particularly for the refutation of Mayavad, of the demoniac, envious denial of the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Person. Sripad Madhvacharya and his descendant Acharyas, they established very strongly the supremacy of the personality of Godhead. Narayana, Krishna, Hari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced us particularly to the person behind the personality. The personality. Personality, we use that term to mean someone very great, awesome, highly respectable, aristocratic. Krishna is the Supreme Person beyond his autocracy. That means beyond theism, beyond his position as God, is his simply enjoying himself, being happy, being himself. So Srila Prabhupada introduced us to all these topics very cautiously, very carefully. They're very easy to misunderstand, not normally to be discussed at all. Just like nowadays, if you look at the newspapers or internet newspapers, we'll see there is a big fuss about Princess Kate, who some topless photos of her have appeared in some newspapers. So I haven't read the reports, I've seen the headlines. But what is this situation, that someone who's in a very respectable aristocratic position is found to be behaving in a manner that might be thought not suitable for their position. That's right. It's not suitable for their position. But on the other hand, they are human beings. They're fun-loving people. Beyond their position and their pomp, they're fun-loving people. But that's not something meant for the public. So Krishna, beyond his pomp, position, aristocracy, he's a fun-loving person, but that's not meant for everyone. Even her husband, William, I believe that's his name, Prince William, Prince Will, Bill, whatever. He might, among his own very intimate friends, he might discuss such things, but not in the Houses of Parliament or to the newspapers. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced us or given the possibility to enter that realm. But who should discuss that? Should we discuss that? We may know it's there. We may know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering to bring us there. But some caution should be there also. It's by invitation only. No gate crashing. No one will be allowed to force their way in. So our sampradayas, particularly everywhere, we worship Radha Krishna, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Shamasunda, Radha Raman, Radha Madhava, everywhere. Radha, Radha, Radha. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he particularly defined Gaurya Vaishnavas as worshippers of Radha. That generic term, Vaishnava, means worshipper of Vishnu. And Karshna, this term is usually applied to the relatives of Krishna in Dwaraka, but he said that Karsha means a devotee of Krishna and Gaurya means worshipper of Radha. So this is Radhashtami tomorrow, and it's suitable to discuss the day before also. Actually, we can discuss every day, and what else should we discuss on any day? But particularly these Vaishnava festivals are to remember particular pastimes, particular devotees, particular forms of the Lord. And what greater day is there than this? Well, we can say, what is the most important day? I find among Prabhupada's disciples that we always say that Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, that's the most important day, because if it wasn't for Prabhupada, then we wouldn't have any introduction to any of this. And whatever we're doing under the direction of, or supposed to be doing under the direction of Srila Prabhupada. But if we want to, so who's more important, Krishna or the devotee? This argument will go back and forward, back and forward, back and forward. The devotee is important because he's devotee of Krishna. And Krishna says devotee is more important. But why is the devotee important? Because Krishna is important. So I'll go back and forward. What's most important? In the end, Hare Krishna. Worship Hare Krishna. Krishna means to worship Krishna with everyone. But then who is everyone? And who is that one in particular? And that is Radha. So very difficult subject to speak of. Later I'd like to read something from this Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, that even for the greatest devotees, to speak of Radha is very difficult. Of course, difficult for them for a different reason than for myself to speak. But topics such as this, even in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, when introducing this topic, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, actually these topics should not be discussed. But if we do not discuss them, then how will anyone come to know of them? And if no one comes to know of them, then what is the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming here at all? So it's highly paradoxical. So anyway, yatha shruta, yatha mati, I may attempt to say something. As I have read, and Achyutananda can verify or deny, that in Calcutta, one devotee called Achyutananda was having a discussion with a gentleman who's long since passed away, called Mr. Singh Roy, the landlord, who, over the subject, who is greater, Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who are you rooting for? Do you remember? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was saying Krishna. So you brought the question to Prabhupada, to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada answered it by saying, Radha. That is the answer. Because Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the feelings and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Radha Krishna Praniya Vikriti Hladini Shakti Rasmad Ekat Manav Api Bhuvi. What is it? Api Bhuvi Puradeha Bhedam Gata Uto Chaitanya Kyam Prakatam Yad Adhuna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. So Radha Krishna Praniya Vikriti, this, all the transformations of love between Radha and Krishna, they are enacted by the Hladini Shakti, who is Radha herself also. Although they are the same one truth, the same person, Ekatma, they are one, they're inseparable. But they are two, they are as if divided into two for the sake of enjoying pleasure pastimes. In the name of Chaitanya, they have appeared. The same two have again become one. That one is Krishna, Krishna Swarup. He's the very form of Krishna. The same features, the same look, everything is the same, except that he has become golden. Gaurangi has become Gauranga, because when Radha and Krishna unite, because Radha is more powerful than her bodily features and personality, her feelings overtake that person of Krishna. So this is theology beyond theology. That's beyond theology, beyond God. Krishna is God, but when he's to be understood as a person, not God, his own personality. That's separate. There's God is his position, his title, his role, his function, and who he is Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandana, Rajananda, Radha Krishna. His only name, Radha Govinda, Radha Krishna, Radha Madhava. What does that mean? Radha and Madhava, Radha and Govinda, or Govinda of Radha, Radha's Govinda. So how great is Radha that Krishna, why he comes, I haven't learned that verse. Maybe you've learned that. Ki drisham mahima. What is that verse? Can you remember? Ah, I can read that. Sri Radhaya Praniya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayai Vasvadyo Yen Adbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Vamadiya Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tad Bhavardha Samajanisha Chigarbha Sindho Rindhu Kidrisho. What is that? What is that? Krishna is thinking. What is that? What is that? Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone realizes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love. The Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotion, appears from the womb of Srimati Shachi Devi as the moon appears from the ocean. So Radha is greater than Krishna because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Everything exists. Why? Krishna expands himself as all the different Shaktis, all the different Jivas, all for his own enjoyment. He's the transcendental autocrat. Everything is just, he's the most egoistic, unimaginably egoistic. It's just everything, all the arrangements are for his own enjoyment. Of course, he is not egoistic in a mundane or nasty way because his enjoyment is giving pleasure to others. But everything is meant for his happiness and he's very happy. Krishna is very happy. There are some theories that God is created in the image of man. That man, some psychologists have decided, they've told us, that we have imagined God to be something like man, some big man in the sky. So because we are nasty, we imagine some nasty old man who didn't believe in me, go to hell. Didn't believe in me, go to hell. Didn't believe in me, go to hell. And there you go. And then all the Christians, they sit up in heaven enjoying watching all the people burning in hell forever. Nasty idea. Fortunately, Krishna is very sweet, very kind, very happy. He's a happy person. He's not a mentally, he's not a sociopath. The supreme sociopath. He's, fortunately, Krishna's not like that. He's very happy and he desires to share that happiness with everyone. So what is happiness? What is happiness? Well, we can imagine different varieties of happiness. Here, from our perspective, we can imagine what is happiness. Here in America, in the modern age, people have a very low-class conception of happiness. If you can get drunk or have a big car, this is considered happiness. There's a section, I got this printed out from Taittiriya Upanishad, which describes happiness in the material world and beyond, starting from a happy person of this world, a noble young man, not a degraded, depraved person, but a noble young man who is learned, which means in Shastra, not in some nonsense. He's very swift. I gotta take that to mean that he's very viryavati, strong, vigorous, firm, and wealthy. So that's one measure of human bliss. Someone who's got a healthy body, well behaved, respected in human society, learned in Shastra. that's about as happy as you can get on this planet. That's one measure of bliss, that's human level. So 100 times that level of happiness is one measure of bliss of the Gandharvas. And also of one versed in the Vedas who is free from desires. This stanza comes at the end. So one measure of bliss of the human Gandharva, that's sub-Gandharvas, and then there are celestial Gandharvas whose bliss is 100 times that. 100 times more than that is the bliss of the Pitris. Translate here as the means. Then 100 times more than that is the bliss of the demigods in heaven. 100 times more than that of the regular devas or the demigods are the karma devas, those who have achieved their position due to performing yajnas. 100 times more that is that of the those who have become demigods by knowledge. And then we go up to Indra, which is 100 times more. 100 times more happiness is that of Brihaspati. And 100 times more than that is the bliss of Prajapati, Brahma. And 100 times more than that is the bliss of Brahman. Simply to be free from material world and to be situated in the bliss of Brahman. And we find in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita a quote from Hari Bhakti Shudodoy, Tvat Sakshat Karanahlada Vishuddhadisthitasya Me Sukhani Goshpadayante Brahmanyapi Jagadguru. O my dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. So even this Brahman realization, which is just far, far more than any happiness we can imagine in this world, anyone who has achieved Krishna consciousness, to them, the happiness of Brahman seems just completely insignificant. So, there are various levels of happiness and spiritual advancement that has been described in, or some idea of that has been given. We can, of course, happiness has to be experienced. We can talk about it, but that is to be experienced. So that happiness, expanding ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that is described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how a devotee is coming up one level, another level, various levels of worship, worshipping Vishnu, Narayana, in this world, beyond this world, in the spiritual world, in Ayodhya, in Dwaraka, and ultimately in Vrindavan. So everything is meant for the happiness of Krishna. And all the devotees of Vrindavan, Dwaraka, they're all simply interested in the happiness of Krishna. Devotees, they dress Krishna, they cook for Krishna, play with Krishna, dance with Krishna. Everything is for the happiness of Krishna. Krishna is very happy. But he feels himself incomplete. He cannot imagine what is the happiness of Radha. So we can just get some tiny little insight from our ant-like perspective here, down here. Some of you may be up there. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to bring us up there. So That is his promise. He has given us this process by which we can go. Radha Mahima, Prema Rasa Shima, Jagate Janatoke. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to taste the happiness. What is this? Krishna is thinking, I am happy. I'm all happy. But I do not know what is the happiness that Radha feels in me, because I'm me. And I can't taste myself. So he has to become her. And to broadcast the glories of Radha, Krishna has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Mahima Prema Rasa Shima Jagate Janatoke. No one but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could do that. So what we are heirs to, what Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas, they have introduced us to, so great, so far beyond even the what great acharyas, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, what they introduced, what they taught, what great benefit they have done for the world. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has introduced us to, even being most unqualified, it is stupendous, far beyond our ability to think of. But, of course, there is a great qualification to enter into all of this. Bishoy Charya, Shri Roshe Mojiya, Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. As long as we have any motive of personal enjoyment, then we cannot even begin to enter, we cannot even begin to conceive of that field, Vrindavan, very sacred land, secret land, how to enter that at all. If there's any motive for personal sense enjoyment, then we have no entrance there. So we are being invited, or rather Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is canvassing to go to that place. And he's given us the very easy means to go there by the chanting of the Maha Mantra. And of course our general day-to-day practices, our preaching among the common people, try to explain to them about Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, he introduced these subjects. Krishna book. He writes in the introduction to Krishna book that people, they see the picture and they are, who is that blue boy? And who is that girl with him? Immediately people will ask the question. Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada had this as one of his first books, in which it's described how Radha possesses all, she has all the attractive qualities to attract the all-attractive. So this is something astonishing, is it not? What do you think? That this, which is not even, you see, great Vedic scholars and devotees like Madhvacharya, Ramana, they won't even discuss, they won't even talk, they don't even seem to have any idea about this. And Srila Prabhupada has made that for, distribute these books everywhere. But still, in his ordinary day-to-day dealing, Srila Prabhupada was very, what was that word you used? Reticent? Some other similar word. He was quite cautious about
circumspect
about all these topics. So we should be, it is paradoxical. We should, what other topic is there to discuss? When we've been given this highest treasure, what else should we aspire for? But at the same time, how can we aspire for that? That also, that Prabodhananda Saraswati, he has given us this idea how we can enter that. What is that verse? Yata yata gaura padara vinde vinde tar ptim krita punya rashi tata tod sapati hridya kasmat radha padam bhoja sukambu rashi. Yata yata gaura pada. As much as we attain any taste for the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yata yata gaurapada vindeta bhaktim krita punya rashi. As much as we have developed any bhakti for the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then that becomes a qualification for the flood of nectar of Radha to flood our hearts. So that is the promised gift. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Radha and Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayan, Rupanuga Janera Jiva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is Radha and Krishna, and by serving him, that promise is there, that this very secret thing which he has come to give, which he wants to give, which we cannot take by, we cannot snatch it from him, but we can serve his mission, and as he wants, when he wants, how he wants, when he sees that we are qualified, then he will bestow this upon us. Rupa Nuga Jane Rajivan. He has given the power of attorney to Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami passes it on in parampara. We are known as Rupa Nuga, not Chaitanya Nuga. Rupa Goswami, he knew all the secrets of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only two people knew. Swarup Damodar knew. Rupa Goswami knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner secrets. Swarup Damodar knew, but he didn't tell anyone. It was just between him and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami knew it, and he broadcast it. He let everyone know. And then later, this Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, particularly, and then so many acharyas have made that clear. So we are heirs to a very great fortune. Not only are we heirs, but we are enjoined to spread that to others also. There should be a time in the world where everyone is eligible for this. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wish. It's a very bad world, a very bad time. But there is a promise that by spreading the Sankirtan movement, that everyone, the whole world will be flooded with Krishna Prem. Krishna Prem means Radha Krishna Prem. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada has introduced us to these subjects. Our previous acharyas, they discussed, it seems, more than did Srila Prabhupada. Of course, that was within very small groups, to certain eligible people. We should also know about this. Many of you, you're much read in all these topics, so at least we can know about this. Parampara jano bhalo mate. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, we should know very well what is our parampara, who are the teachers, what have they taught. So by their mercy, we can enter into all these topics as and when they consider us eligible. If we have time, I'd like to read a few pages. Is that all right? Yeah. This was about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His eternal form and internal ecstasy. This is one chapter in three volumes. So this is gleaned from different bits and pieces here and there. Mostly Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would speak and write on various philosophical topics. But time to time, there were some insights of his eternal form and internal ecstasy. That is the title of this chapter 29 of this Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava. In his writings, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had intimated his Siddha Swarup to be Kamala Manjari, a young gopi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur put it in his writings. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had declared Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji to be Guna Manjari. In a letter to Kunja Bihari Prabhu in 1921, Srila Saraswati Thakur wrote of his internal feelings and position on the spiritual plane. Quote, Sri Vrishabhanu Nandini, that's Radha, addresses her young maidservant as Nayanmani Manjari and wants her always by her side. But sometimes she cannot be with her. Bimala Manjari, who is ever connected with Nayanmani Manjari, being deprived of the association of Sri Radha, leaves on the pretense of severing ties with Nayanmani Manjari. Yet it is the very nature of Bimala Manjari to ensure that Nayanmani Manjari perpetually engages in service to Sri Varshabhanavi Devi. When, sometime later, Ananda Vasudeva Prabhu told Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati that in a dream he had seen him as Nayanmani Manjari in Vraja, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati simply laughed. Therefore, his followers were convinced that his Siddha Swarup was Nayanmani Manjari, a young assistant gopi who is the personification of the aspect of Radha that is dearest to Krishna. Nayanamani literally means the jewel or pupil of the eye and figuratively denotes an item most treasured. From Krishna's perspective, the very form of Sri Radha is most enchanting. In her form, her face is most enchanting. In her face, her eyes are most enchanting. And in her eyes, the pupils, Nayanamani, are most enchanting. From Radha's standpoint, her Nayanmani are her most precious possession, being her means for beholding Krishna. Wishing to alleviate Radha and Krishna's pain of separation, Nayanmani Manjari always desires their union so that each may satisfy the other's only desired object of vision. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's state persona contrasted with the expressive Bengali psyche and the showy displays of Prakriti Sahajiyas. His ecstasy was demonstrated in practical service to Lord Chaitanya's mission, in his incessant drive to preach. His very life was kirtan, much of which focused on refuting worldly misconceptions and establishing the absolute truth. Yet such didacticism was not per se the inner purpose of his kirtan, which had been disclosed to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and conveyed by him in a series of instructions to Sri Siddhanta Saraswati. Hridaye bolilo ke ba doyeta dashera seva gopi dhanna katha kirtan. Someone spoke in my heart. The service of Dayata Das is to glorify topics of Sri Krishna, the wealth of the gopis. Through this couplet, his kirtan was revealed as a projection of his Nitya Seva to Sri Sri Radha Govinda onto the plain of Sankirtan in Gaura Lila, and indicated that hearing from him or assisting him in his service of broadcasting Hari Katha is equivalent to, or the means to acquire eligibility for, seeing that which is most dear to Radha and Krishna. During a lecture in 1933, Srila Saraswati Thakur similarly hinted of the higher goal of his mission. I had many points to make about Shuddha Bhakti and topics of Mahaprabhu that should be preached. But before saying these things, I have taken up much of your time with introductory talks. If the Lord wills, I shall be able to elaborate all these subjects. Srila Saraswati Thakur also said that the words Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya from a famous verse summarizing the teachings of Sri Gaurasundara indicate that Radha is to be worshipped along with Vrajendra Nandana, and further elaborated that the supreme duty of Gauriyas is to serve the Vrajavasis in their distress of separation after Krishna left for Mathura. This service being the essence of the multifarious services performed by Srila Saraswati Thakur, it expanded as the intrinsic yet esoteric and generally unstated aim of all activities of the Gauriya Math, namely to bring jivas toward the platform of serving the superlative expression of Unatojvala Rasa in Radha Dasya. Unatojvala Rasa. His innermost appetency was likewise revealed in his Bengali presentation of Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita. Sri Barshab Hanavi Devi Kobe Dayata Dasere Kunda Tere Sthana Debe Nija Jana Kore. When will the daughter of Rishabhanu make me this servant of her beloved, make this servant of her beloved her own, and give him a place on the bank of Radha Kund? Although undoubtedly ever immersed in the intense bliss of Prema Bhakti, Srila Saraswati Thakur was reticent to reveal his inmost feelings. Yet he could not always contain his whirling emotions, and sometimes his natural ecstatic love became visible to everyone. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati treasured Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Vilapa Kusumanjali and Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati's Radha Rasa Sudha Nidhi, both highly confidential expressions of plangent loving for service to Radha. In intimate moments with disciples, he occasionally recited Vilapa Kusumanjali, verse 102. Asha Bharai Ramrita Sindhu Mayai Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratanghi Tvangchit Kripang Mai Vidhasya Sinaiva King Me Pranaya Vrajena Chavaruru Bakar Inapi. There is a hope sustaining me and nurturing my existence. With this expectation, I somehow pass my days dragging my life through these drawn-out times. That nectarous ocean of hope is attracting me and keeping me alive, but my patience has reached its end. I can no longer endure. I cannot wait another moment. If you, Radharani, do not immediately show your grace to me, I am finished. I will lose all hope forever. I will have no desire to continue my life, for it would be totally useless. Without your grace, I cannot bear to live another moment. And Vrindavan, more dear to me than my very life, I am disgusted with it. It is painful, ever pinching to me. And what to speak of anything else, I am disgusted even with Krishna. Shameful though it be to utter such words, I can have no love even for Krishna unless you take me within your confidential camp of service. O Radha, if I do not get your favor, then I want nothing else. I want you and you alone. To have an independent relationship with anyone else, eliminating you, is impossible for me. You must be first, then others. Without you, I can never even think of a separate relationship with Krishna. Upon reciting this verse, Srila Saraswati Thakur would become transfixed and overcome with emotion, his face like that of a phantom. He also stated that the meaning of his name, Sri Varshab Hanavi Devi Dayata Das, was made clear by the last two lines of this stanza. O Radha, if you are not merciful to me, then of what use are Krishna, Vraja, and even life itself? During a conversation with Sri Sharadindu Narayana Rai in Calcutta in November 1930, the first verse of Vilap Kusumanjali flashed into Srila Saraswati Thakur's mind and he recited it. You can see from the conversation, they're discussing various points and then he just suddenly recites this verse. Tvang rupa manjari sakhi pratita pure smin pung sapa rasya vadanang nahi pasya siti. Bimbadhare kshatam anagata bhatrikaya yad tevyad hai kim utach chuka pungavena. O friend Rupa Manjari, it is well known in this town that you do not look at the face of any man other than your husband. He is not here, and yet there is a mark on the bimba fruits of your lips as if someone has bitten them. Did a large parrot bite them? As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati began to explain this verse, his voice faltered and then choked up. Tears streamed from his eyes, his body quivered, and his hair stood on end. Gripped with ecstasy, he fell from his wooden chair to the floor. Disciples in attendance helped him up and, carefully supporting him, led him to an adjoining interior apartment. Sharadindu Babu followed him inside and, after offering fully prostrated dandavat, declared, "This happened because we are not fit to hear such topics." Observing this upsurge of ecstasy in their characteristically deeply grave acharya, his disciples became stunned and motionless like figures in a painting. After some time, the visitors left, and eventually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati returned to external consciousness. He then lamented to the remaining devotees, "Today I have succumbed to great weakness by speaking topics of the spiritual realm in the presence of ordinary persons. I didn't realize that so many outsiders were here. On what level are the talks of commonplace folk engaged in satisfying their bodies and minds? And on what level are the talks of Sri Rupa Raghunath? Better to speak according to the judgment of Rupa Raghunath." Once when Srila Saraswati Thakur was sojourning at Radhakund, Sri Paramananda Brahmachari appreciatively reported that the Dewan of Bharatpur was there performing Dandavat Parikrama with his whole family. Srila Saraswati Thakur declared that the Dewan's high regard for Radha was due to her connection with Krishna, but we worship Krishna only because of his connection with Radha. Srimad Parvat Maharaj once asked his Guru Maharaj why Krishna had disappeared from the presence of Srimati Radharani after taking her away from the Rasa dance. Upon hearing this query, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became disturbed, for in that pastime, apparently, Krishna had slighted Radharani. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had explained in his Bhagavatarka Marichi Mala, a study of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna disappeared solely to witness the depth of separation from that Radharani felt from him. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was so partial toward Radharani that he could not hear anything seemingly demeaning to her, and in an agitated spirit retorted, "What bhakti do you find here that prompts you to ask this?" The very question was rejected. By such exchanges, his closest disciples perceived that internally he perpetually experienced separation from Radharani and was even more partial to Radha than to Krishna. Yet he distinguished between the Radha imagined by the Prakriti Sahajiyas and she who is the mistress of Rupa Raghunath. In a lecture given on Radhashtami, he stated that Srimati Radharani is the wealth by which Govinda is wealthy, and that if, after going through all 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, the reader did not find her therein, then his study was simply useless. Upon mentioning, although he did include in his edition of Bhagavatam the commentary of Madhva also, in Sanskrit only. By such exchanges, and Madhva doesn't discuss these topics at all. By such exchanges, his closest disciples perceived that internally he perpetually... Upon mentioning or hearing the name Radha, Srila Saraswati Thakur sometimes suddenly manifested various symptoms of Ashta Sattvic Vikar, the eight symptoms of transcendental ecstasy described in Vaishnava literature, Stambha, being stunned. Shvida, perspiring. Romancha, horripilation. Gadgada, or Svarabhed, stammering. Kampa, or Vipatu, trembling. Vaivarnya, pallor. Ashru, tearfulness. And Pralai, fainting. Despite trying to maintain gravity, his entire body would stiffen and his words become choked. Sometimes upon entering his room, disciples found Srila Sarasvati Thakur sitting alone in ecstatic reverie, weeping profusely. At a public meeting, a gentleman questioned, "Why do Gauriya Vaishnavas so much emphasize Radha? Why do you neglect Lakshmi?" He then recited several scriptural references glorifying Lakshmi. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati found himself in a quandary. Glorification of Radha was not to be spoken openly, yet he was obliged to reply to uphold her dignity and that of the previous acharyas for whom she was the topmost object of reverence. Rent by this dilemma, he fainted in a public meeting. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati particularly relished contemplating and describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings during the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes, when his identification with Radharani's feelings of separation from Krishna became superlatively intense. Whenever he described these pastimes, tears would flow from his eyes, but he would wipe them away and go on speaking. Inevitably, he would lose himself in ecstasy and become oblivious to the exterior world. Upon emerging from trance in a fluttering voice, he would repeat Sri Chaitanya's poetic lamentation. Ha ha, Krishna Pranadhan. Ha ha, Paddalochan. Ha ha, Dibba Shadguna Shagar. Ha ha, Shyamasunda. Ha ha, Pitambaradhar. Ha ha, Rasa Vilasa Naga. Kahangele Toma Pai Tumi Kaha Tahanjai. Alas, where is Krishna, the treasure of my life? Where is the lotus-eyed one? Alas, where is the divine ocean of all transcendental qualities? Alas, where is the beautiful blackish youth dressed in yellow garments? Alas, where is the hero of the Rasa dance? Where can I go to find him? Tell me and I will go there. Srila Saraswati Thakur similarly relished the esoteric significance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes at Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra as described in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shito parananata painu jahalagi madana dahane jhurigenu. Now I have gained the Lord of my life, in the absence of whom I was being burned by Cupid and was withering away. So that is stage to be aspired for. Hare Krishna.
Go ahead, Maharaj. When will that day? My offenses ceasing, taste of the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When will that day be mine?
Yeah, by the mercy of the holy name, the offenseless chanting of the holy name and preaching of the holy name, that comes at the end of that song. Kabinitananda More Kore Daya. What is that? Namer Hatete Dibi Hodika. So it's the whole Sharanagati, the Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from "I'm the most sinful, most wretched, I wasted my life," and then by chanting and then feeling the happiness of serving Krishna, and then taking the form of a gopi and entering the spiritual world, and then summarize it all with the "everything is possible by Nam Bhajan." So that's a whole course in entering the spiritual world from the most wretched condition. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Back to Godhead course, Sharanagati, songs.
Gopinath also.
Yeah. Yeah, he sings that song to Gopinath. Yeah, that song he sings to Gopinath. To Gopinath he sings. That I am a materialist, I have no hope, I'm surrounded by my material desire. I've tried, I can't get rid of all, I just can't get out of this. You have to save me. Why are you neglecting me? He's so. Yeah, you'll see in here, that's also said that he would regularly sing that. When he was in Puri, he would regularly go the short distance from his mat, Sri Purushottam mat, to Gopinath, Tota Gopinath, and he would sing this. He would have his disciples sing. So, this is an introduction to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's teachings. But it's very much incomplete. There are two sides. Because we can understand the acharyas by their antecedents and their descendants. So we can understand the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur by seeing the teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and seeing how these have been spread in the world by Srila Prabhupada. So, I don't know if I'll do it in this lifetime, but there's the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was made of Bhaktivinoda. Everything he did was for Bhaktivinoda. And it all came to life for him through Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So much wealth. Each of the great pure Vaishnavas has far more wealth, far more knowledge than everything and everyone in this world together. If you see, go to the university, if someone could study all the topics, what topics they have, history, geography, and mathematics, science, so many different topics. You just put them all together and take one dust from the lotus feet of supposed to be illiterate Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. That one dust from his lotus feet is just far more significant than everything that these people think they know. What a wealth. What a great wealth. We're wasting our time trying to understand this material world. There's no need, actually. Already Krishna summed it all up in two words. Dukhalayam ashashvatam. That's it. That's all you need to know about the material world. That's all. No need to study it in great depth.
Bhaktivinoda was a nice bhajan, but that for so long I studied it.
Vidhara bilase. Katainuka paramashahashayam. Now I know that so-called knowledge, it's shibidda abidda, that so-called knowledge is just ignorance.
Like a shaft piercing my heart.
Yeah, shibidda, what is that? Shibidda, hoilo, shela, just like.
We have a kirtan?
Yeah. Let me ask one question. Mm-hmm. What was the relationship between Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur?
What was the relationship?
Father and son.
This is discussed in here that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he never referred to Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his father. Conventionally, it's written like that, but he related to him as a Paramahamsa Acharya, as his guru, not as some mundane father. For as long as anyone could observe it, from his very young life, he always related to him as a great acharya. Hmm. There's no mundanity in it, yeah.
Can you please explain the relationship between Bhakti Siddhanta and Bhakti Vinod Thakur?
Yeah, these are very big topics. These are very big topics. What do I know? But when Srila Prabhupada was asked to explain about his relationship with his guru, he said he refused to speak on it. So these are very great topics. One of full surrender, full reverence, and full service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took the order from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to serve Gaura Dham, Gaura Nam, Gaura Dham, and Gaura Kam. First the Dham. Serve the Dham of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mayapur Dham, Navadvip Dham. To serve the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to serve the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. So his relationship was one of great. That's also discussed in here, how his whole being was made up of bhakti. You know, the whole Gauriya Math was meant for broadcasting the mission and glories and understanding of the realizations of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Srila Prabhupada was giving a Sunday feast lecture in the sanctuary, which is now the temple. But there was a temple room for the Tate Museum.
Where is this, Los Angeles?
Yeah, LA. So he was discussing about Vrindavan, and he started talking about the cowherd boys and the gopis. And then all of a sudden he just stopped. Mm. He just like stopped. And all the devotees, you know, this, we thought that, you know, this was only going to last just a short time, but it went on for some time. The devotees were like looking at each other, trying to figure out, you know, what they should do at this particular point. But then after some time, Prabhupada just looked up and continued lecturing at that point where he stopped. So we could see at that particular point that he had gone into an internal state while discussing this topic. Also, I had the good fortune to fan him sometimes during the class, and he would sing Jayaranam Madhava, and he would look at the Vyasan facing straight ahead, what they call Radha Krishna, and he would sing, and we could see that tears would come down his eyes. We could see also that, even when he was just lecturing about you're not this body and various things like that, because I used to look at him very intently to try to understand who is this personality that I've accepted as my spiritual master. You know? So I could see that there would be some involuntary symptoms of trembling in his body. So he was always, fixed in a much deeper state than we were able to perceive. Mm. And what struck me is, if you watch some of the films that Yadavar took, and when he's discussing about dispersing money for the BBT and various things like that, I always get the feeling when I look at it that even when he's discussing something that would normally be to us really mundane, how to write checks out, you could feel that there's so much spiritual energy coming from his person. So, amidst all these activities that he was doing, that we observed, opening temples and writing books, and he was just on a state that that we can't, perceive. Also, one more thing is that I stood next to him when he offered arti to a picture, a so-called picture of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, And I was watching him and watching his eye movements as he was offering arati. And to me, what I perceived was that he was seeing, he wasn't seeing a picture of Shri. We were seeing a picture of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and he was offering arati, but he wasn't seeing a picture. He was seeing something else. So from that I got some small glimpses into something about his states. I don't understand, but it's at least I can understand that it's there. I have complete faith that he is there on that platform. The Kundalini and all brought together.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta was a great astronomer. Is it, I heard that he had sent the coordinates to the observatory in 1930? Is this hearsay? I heard it from a couple of people a long time ago.
Coordinates of which? To which observatory?
The location of Pluto. And he said, what you're looking for is here. And he sent them.
I never heard that before.
Shrikar said he saw that in an old Encyclopedia Britannica that Siddhanta Saraswati discovered. But then later it was taken out. But somehow he saw it. I don't know where. It was old. Outdated book. Never heard that.
No, I never heard that before.
What the end of it was saying, but you heard from Shrikar?
Well, yeah, we talked about it.
You talked to Shrikar about it?
You have to find all the editions because they change the Encyclopedia Britannica as their knowledge becomes more advanced.
Now it's not even a planet. One of them has been reduced to
Pluto's been an it's been deplanetized, yeah.
Some people say that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta learned English by locking himself in a room in Jagannath Puri and getting all kinds of English books for 7 days.
That's also I never heard that before.
He already knew English growing up, right?
Yeah, he grew up with English.
He knew more, he learned more English.
Because Srila Bhaktivinoda learned English since he was 5 years old. And I assume
well, he was sent to an English medium school. Yeah.
I assume Srila Bhaktivinoda was.
He was also sent to an English medium school, probably grew up with it. English speaking people.
Bhaktivinoda was known as Mr. ABC because he knew English so good.
You want to say something? No.
On that chapter that he read, I believe there's a footnote where you mentioned that Prabhupada says that my spiritual master claimed to be...
Right. You've got a good memory. You read it very carefully, yeah. I didn't read the footnotes.
He used the word he claimed to be this Manjari.
He didn't... Srila Prabhupada didn't give the name in that letter. He claimed to be an intimate servant of one of the gopis. We never learned the word Manjari from Prabhupada, right? We learned it later.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, interesting. Doesn't mean we shouldn't learn it, but we didn't learn it specifically from
him. Even Hukum Manjari is not mentioned?
I don't, and did Prabhupada say? Maybe in...
Shri Rupa Manjari.
Did Prabhupada sing that?
It's in the song.
It's in the songbook. Achyutananda gave it. It was known song among the, he asked Sridhar Maharaj to sing it. I mean, it was part of the regular.
I think the word was current in that era.
It's part of the regular liturgy.
Prabhupada's disappearance, that word was current in specific to Rupa Manjari.
Prabhupada did say in Vedavis to Sripad Hamsudata Maharaj, he replied, yes, my Guru Maharaj was.
I don't know if he used the word Manjari.
Yes, he did. I was reading the Manjari database twice.
Is it? Okay.
But I don't like to discuss these topics further.
Mm.
Also
Yeah, Prabhupada was very cautious about all of this. We're less cautious nowadays.
Maharaj, Gaudiya Mandir was so successful when Srila Bhakti Saraswati was present. And there was such a huge following. What do we learn from that so we don't go the same direction? After all your research. And
Well, personal ambition, that can manifest in different ways also. In one sense that it's it is a great credit for ISKCON that we haven't split up in the same way, but that the Gaudiya Mutt did. But we should have to be very careful that in maintaining unity, we don't do so by watering down the philosophy. Anyway.
Did you ever get any feedback? Like, because I've heard Prabhupada directly say that, well, he said very nasty things about non-philosophy. I noticed you went out of your way not to say anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Very bad stuff about him.
Very, very bad stuff. Yeah, there's more stuff I found out too.
Super heavy duty. And then he also said pretty nasty stuff about
Tirtha Maharaj, yeah.
That he had pre-planned from the very beginning. He said, in your book, you get the idea, I mean, not misleading anyone, of course, that he did such wonderful.
From the original sources, that's what you find, actually. And after the, when all the hullabaloo was going on, after 1937. Paramananda, who was one of the very, very first devotees, even before Tirtha Maharaj, who was there right at the beginning. Paramananda was there as a child, right at the beginning. He produced a booklet with all letters and quotes from Saraswati Thakur, showing, in which he only expressed appreciation for Kunja Bihari. So I'm taking a very cautious position here. Maybe another book could be written also.
Well, if you, Robert said, you shouldn't criticize my job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he said, well, I wrote that in the beginning, that Prabhupada said that Tirtha Maharaj had gone back to Godhead. So I want to criticize someone who's gone back to Godhead. Yeah. Someone else, devotees also asked me to write about the later history of the Gaudiya Mutt. It's extremely difficult to put it together because you get such different things said about this, exactly the same people, completely different things. Another thing is, I don't think it would serve the cause of Vaishnavism. It's past history and... Yeah, but that's also from one perspective, which he didn't do much research, and that book's got so many mistakes. He didn't do any proper research, actually. For anyone who knows a little bit, it's just an embarrassment, actually. It's a good piece of propaganda for people who don't know much about what happened.
For his camp.
Yeah.
Is your book being accepted like in universities or is somebody looking for that research?
I doubt it'll be accepted in universities. It's not it's not scholarly neutral. It's written from the standpoint of a practitioner. It's not written from the standpoint of a neutral scholar. Hagiography, yeah.
What does that really mean? They're all hags?
Well, it's a word that hagiography means. It's a biography written by someone who believes the person to be on a divine platform. And that's not accepted within the academia.
They're not so interested in these divine persons.
They're only interested if they can examine them psychologically, anthropologically, and like this. And anything divine or out of the ordinary, they call that just some hallucination or made-up story. Stories made up for the purpose of reinforcing the people's belief in them or something like this. These people are useless. I don't know why we give them so much importance. Really, they're useless people. They really are. They're highly overrated.
Maharaj, this very complex grammatical compositions of some of the letters and writings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in this book, were they all in English or some were translated from it?
No, his Bengali is unusual also. It's quite complex and it's highly Sanskritized and it's very technical kind of languages. And he used words in his own way.
There was somebody that told
the average educated Bengali can't understand it at all. You have to know his particular diction, then you can begin to understand it.
Somebody that told him to send his dictionary.
When you say Sridhaita Das, Kirtanatyas.
Well, in his poetry, but in his prose, yeah, there's a lot of.
In the prose.
Yeah.
He was noticing the Patravali. They require some higher Bengali.
Yeah, yeah. It is Sanskrit knowledge and knowledge about Vaishnav culture, Gauriya culture. And his Patravali is there, then there are also his Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavatam, and Bhagavatam commentaries. So, yeah, it's it's extraordinarily complex, his style of writing. And I was afraid to even try and understand it, but to even try to read it.
But your English in this book is quite complex, too.
It is complex. That's the easiest way to write without just reducing it all to mush. And I also wanted to reflect his style somewhat.
I thought so.
To get some feel or flavor. I don't know how well it came over. But editing assistance, yeah. Yeah.
I was wondering, Maharaj, when did you... I remember seeing you Brahmachari when you were Brahmachari in Saptan Mayapur. I remember even your turban.
Yeah.
This story that you, not story, the philosophy that you wrote, that worshipping Krishna without Radha is incomplete and improper. Similarly, chanting Hare Krishna without hearing Hare Katha is also improper and incomplete. I remember long time back we met Ulumi Maharaj. We went to Godhru.
We means?
And some other devotees, Subhag Maharaj, he was a Brahmachari also. So we went and that time, I don't know if you, I'm sure you probably met him, but I was wondering when you
started. I don't remember, I think I saw him once, but I don't think I spoke with him.
He was a white cloth.
Yeah,
he
was a sannyasi, but then he was a cloth. Right, there's a story behind that also.
And he was telling us almost similar, when I was reading this, a lot of memory came back.
Well, Sarasvati Thakur said that a few times. In the very first verse, in his commentary on the very first verse of Bhagavatam, he intimates that also. That just as Krishna is complete, but he's not complete without Radha, so the holy name is complete, but Kirtan is not complete without Shravan, Harikatha. So Harinam should be accompanied by Harikatha. I think we should probably finish up. It's getting a little late. It's feeling a little late.
You've got to drive 6 hours tomorrow.
No, I'm flying.
Can I just ask one last question?
But anyway, I still have to travel. On and on and on.
Just one last question. Mm. You say in the book that although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he encouraged Kirtan, his Kirtan really was Harikatha.
He's better known for his Kirtan of speaking, yeah. Rather than singing.
I thought you put it very nicely in your book. You said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's say, I vow to follow this kirtan in Sadahari, but this kirtan can be done in two ways, the way you put it, I remember. One is in the form of chanting, and one is in the form of singing. No, one is in the form of speaking, one is in the form of singing. I choose to speak, to chant the Kirtaniya Sadhavali in the form of speaking. That's how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta.
He spoke never less than 2 hours, it seems. 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours lectures.
Yes.
No tape recorder.
There's nothing recorded. But you put it very nicely, Maharaj. The way you put it, I really attracted me a lot of, I appreciate that. That you said that in the beginning, he says, if I tell you what the conclusion of my lecture in the beginning, you won't be able to perceive. So I had to go for hours to come to the same conclusion what I could have done in the beginning, but you won't get it. I love it. It really makes sense.
Hare Krishna. So tomorrow is Radhashtami. We shall worship, remember, serve Sri Radha. She's cooking for Krishna. Her favorite vegetable is arbi. Do you get that here? What they call arbi in Vrindavan, that's kochu in Bengali. I don't know, that's what I'm asking. I don't know if they have it here or not. Kochu, that small kochu. Not that man kochu, this small one. No, not portal.
What does it look like?
It looks something like ginger, but it's a little bit bigger, and it's something like a potato.
You don't eat it raw.
Yeah, it has to be cooked. It's a root, it has to be cooked. And in Vrindavan on this day, you have to, if you get it at all, you have to pay a very high price, because everyone wants to get it and cook it.
What's her favorite fruit?
That I don't know. Krishna's lips.
That's a great answer.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Hare Krishna. You want to say, I have a few books here that are available out there if anyone would like to see. I don't know, I didn't see the time, but it feels late to me.
What time is the watch?
It's 9:14.
Not late.
No, not so late. All right, you can speak about them if you like.
When I have this book on the Android phone, the Sanskrit phones don't translate. I got it from Amazon.com.
Oh, that's their fault then, because we put all the fonts in.
Somehow I tried and communicated
with them. Oh, could you send me in? They didn't help you.
No, I found no solution.
Oh.
You want some pen?
I have a pen.
I stored it.
That makes it... If you send me an email, I'll send it on to the devotee who put in the tremendous amount of work to make it available on Kindle. Well, I can imagine. It's like the Veda-based font when you put it in a text file. Still going on.